Blog Talk Radio.
Baruch Hashem, this is Mark Lichtenwalter coming to you live on the 6th day of March, 2019. This is Fundamentally Mormon. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. We are live streaming on Facebook at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. We are also YouTube live at youtube.com/user/ God is my compass. Channel name is Messiah Ben Joseph. Tonight we're going to start on page 68 of Mysteries of Creation, chapter 8, Jehovah. Anybody can read for free online at ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com. Once you're on the homepage, click on Read Ogden's Books. That'll bring you to a list of links, and you can find the Mysteries of Creation just by scrolling down. Everything's in alphabetical order. So I plan on doing at least 2 hours tonight. And then that third hour, if we have any guest callers, that would be fine for them to call in at that time. And if we don't have any guest callers, that's fine. I'll just end the radio program early. And we'll see where we get when we get there. So the video that I did earlier today was interrupted, and I will have to finish that tomorrow, hopefully, which talks about the revelations of Messiah Ben Yosef. So anyway, let's get into this. I will dedicate the program, and we'll get right into the reading. Thank you for joining us. Okay, you guys need to go down in the family room and watch your DVDs and close the doors, because I can hear you playing down there in the hallway. So, I'm a family man, and I've got kids. It is what it is, and I love them to death, but sometimes I wish I had a studio, but I'm just happy that I have this set up to be able to do these videos in the radio program. Also, anybody who wants to listen to the radio program without watching the videos can do so at blogtalkradio.com/fundamentallymormon. So, all right, I'll dedicate the program and get right into the reading. Jehovah, our Elohim, we come to thee in the name of thy Son, Yeshua, our Messiah. We dedicate our lives unto thee, Father. We dedicate our time and our talents into the building up of thy kingdom, that thy kingdom, which is above, may come down upon the earth, and that we might be tools in thine hand to bring forth thy kingdom on the earth. We thank thee, Father, for all of our many blessings. We thank thee for your instructions given to us through all the holy prophets. We desire to learn of thee and to know you better. For thy spirit to be upon me, that my mind may be directed to the things which thou would have me share with the people. And I do so in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen. Shalom, Charles. Thank you for being here today. So I wanted to talk about, we're going to get into Jehovah. There's some things about this that I wanted to share a little bit later, and there are things that I've talked about in Ether Chapter 3 where Jesus shares with us through this writing that he had not showed himself to anyone before the point of Moharnre Moriankomer, the brother of Jared, during the time of the Tower of Babel, and the current Mormon teachings actually contradict being Jehovah. Now, Jesus is the Melech, or the messenger of Jehovah, and he speaks by authority given to him of Jehovah. And we're going to get into that right now because there's some confusing things that need to be cleared up. But I'll share and we'll talk about those things as I go through this video teaching. Chapter 8, page 68, of Mysteries of Creation, Jehovah. This chapter will show the evolution of the nebulous title and positions of Jehovah, both in Christian circles and within LDS circles. It may be evident that many biblical spokesmen had different perceptions of God, just as Mormon authorities have. It is just as difficult to harmonize these biblical writers as it is Mormon authors. The word Jehovah, or Jehovah, which is the English or anglicized, you know, version, it's Jehovah, people. Anyway, the word Jehovah has become slippery and an inconsistent term, too often used in generalities in the first 50 years of Mormon history. It had a different meaning than it has had in the past 100 years. The interesting development of this part of the gospel will be traced within the next few pages. Biblical concepts of Jehovah. Two of the most common names for God in the Old Testament, according to more recent Christian scholars, are El, which is short for Elohim, and Jehovah. Drives me nuts because all over the Hebrew Bible it says Jehovah our Elohim. Anyway, yet seldom is there rendered Jehovah in the English text. Melvin R. Brooks noted, quote, "The word Jehovah appears only four times in our King James Version of the Bible. However, when the word Lord appears in capital letters as L-O-R-D, all in capital letters, the Hebrew text gives the name Jehovah or Y-H-V-H, which is what the Jews call the Tetragrammaton. See Genesis chapter 16, verse 2, Deuteronomy 10, 17, Joshua 7, 10, etc. Let's see, end quote, LDS reference encyclopedia by Brooks, page 211. But it is important to note that in the original Hebrew, there are no vowels, and thus a different pronunciation is often given. The Jewish scholars have written this explanation, page 69 of Mysteries of Creation. Jehovah, a mispronunciation induced by Christian theologians. We have it over 1,700 times in ancient Jewish texts. So I'll get into that. Almost entirely disregarded by the Jews of the Hebrew, Jehovah. Actually, Charles, if you want to talk about this, because I know that you studied this a lot, the guest call-in number is 917-889-8827, and I will put you on speakerphone, and you can talk about this if you would like. So I'll give you that free air time if you choose to do that. If you don't, that's fine. Anyway, the ineffable name of God, which is YHVH, this pronunciation is grammatically impossible. It arose through pronouncing the vowels of the ker with the consonants of ketib being substituted, with one exception wherever Yehovah or YHVH or YHWH, which is wrong. Although W used to have a V sound instead of a W sound. So anyway, let's see, wherever YHWH occurs in the Bible and the liturgical books. I know I'm saying that wrong. I'm going to move on. End quote, Jewish Encyclopedia, volume 7, page 87. Besides the name Jehovah, the Hebrew would also add other letters or words to further describe their God. For instance, in Genesis chapter 22, Abraham named the place where he sacrificed the ram, Yahweh, or Ya'er, or I don't know where he's getting this from. It's Yehovah Ya'er, which means the Lord provides. Moses erected an altar. I just got to say this before we go on. When the 10 lost tribes were taken out of the land of the north country, the Assyrians sent in pagans from other places and told them to worship the God of the land. The God of the land was Jehovah, but the Assyrians, these pagan people that came in, they called him Yahweh. nothing to do with Jehovah. The pronunciation of Yahweh comes from that people. It is not Hebraic in nature. It does not mean, it's not Jehovah. Hold on. All right, somebody's texting me, I don't know who they are. So anyway, continuing on. Moses erected an altar and called it Jehovah Nisi, which means the Lord is my banner. Gideon erected an altar at Ophrah, calling it Jehovah Shalom, meaning the Lord is my peace. Jeremiah spoke of Jehovah Tzidkenah, which means the Lord is our righteousness. And that's in Jasher chapter 22, verse 16. David used the name Jehovah Wabohi, the Lord of hosts. In other places, he was a God. He was the God of Israel, the Lord of Israel, and the Ancient of Days. This difference is translated Lord in the Old Testament. Jehovah was considered too sacred a name to pronounce, so Adonai, which means my Lord, was substituted in the reading. The consonants of YHVH were changed to form the word Jehovah or Jehovah, a form first attested to at the start of the 12th century A.D. Illustrations of the Bible Dictionary, Volume 1, page 571, page 70 of Mysteries of Creation. These titles became so interplayed with the Father and the Son that Yeshua, or Jesus, even took the title of Father on several occasions. The term Lord was completely natural to him, and as the divine Son, he employed it frequently. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, and chapter 10, verse 32, Luke chapter 2, 49, and 11, 13, and John chapter 12:49. It is noteworthy that his first recorded words in Luke chapter 2, verse 49, indicate his awareness of being about his Father's affairs, and that his last discourse on earth centered upon the promises, the promise of my Father, Luke chapter 24, verse 49. While the Lord claimed that God was Father to him in a unique sense, see John chapter 5, verse 18, yet that fatherhood was something to be shared, Matthew 7:11, Luke 11:13, etc. The name Kupios, or the Lord, occurs with great frequency in the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament. It seems to gather together within itself a combined meaning of the Hebrew name Adonai, which it is the verbal equivalent of Jehovah or Jehovah. Okay, the name is applied to both the Father and the Son, and at times is the chief signature for Jesus Christ himself. Let me just say also that when Yeshua took upon himself our sins and transgressions, bought us with a blood price, and we become his through the law of adoption, and he becomes our Father because of the law of adoption. But above him is Jehovah, which is our Father, or Jehovah our Elohim, who is our mighty one. So that's another reason why Yeshua can be called a father or the father, but he always points to the Father, Jehovah. And I'm going to get into the difference between Jesus and Jehovah, or Yeshua and Jehovah, here in a second. In the gospel, it appears as a direct equivalent of Adonai, Mark 1:3, and as a close correlate to the name Theos, John 20:28. In the post-resurrection narrative, especially, it appears as a direct name for Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 24, verse 34, John 28 and 21, verse 20, end quote. Zonovan's Encyclopedia of the Bible, Volume 2, page 764. Jehovah is also used only rarely as Jehovah or well, YHVH or YHWH, whatever, is used only rarely as Jehovah in the Bible. So when the word Lord appears in the English translation of the Bible, it is the word Jehovah in the Hebrew, or YHVH. When the New Testament was written, they also applied the word Lord to Christ. This gave the inference that the Lord of the Old Testament was the same Lord of the New Testament. In other words, they thought Jesus was the Jehovah or Jehovah of the Old Testament. However, there is enough scriptures to denote otherwise. For example, Luke wrote, and we're on page 71, the God of Abraham and of Isaac, Yitzhak, and of Yaakov, or Jacob, the God of our fathers has glorified his son, Yeshua, or Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him. Acts chapter 3, verse 13. The God of our fathers raised up Yeshua, or Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Acts chapter 5, verse 30. The apostle Shaul clarifies, or Paul, clarifies it further by saying, quote, God at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us by the Son. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And notice he spoke to Moses, or Moshe, and God to Moses, saying, behold, I am the Lord God Almighty, and endless is my name, for I am without beginning of days or end of years, and is not this endless. And I have a work for thee, Moshe, or Moses, my son, and thou art in the similitude of mine only begotten, and mine only begotten is and shall be the Savior, for he is full of grace and truth. But there is no Elohim or God beside me, and all things are present with me, for I know them all. Moses chapter 1, verses 3 and 6. So it was God the Father, Jehovah our Elohim, that spoke to Moses and revealed, quote, God created man in mine own image, and in the image of mine only begotten created I him, male and female created I them. Moses chapter 2, verse 27. And I, God, saw everything that I had made, and behold, all things which I had made were very good. Moses chapter 2, verse 31. Page 72. Here the Father is admitting that he created man and everything was pronounced good. These scriptures then indicate that, number one, the Father was the creator. Number two, he was the only one who spoke to Moses, giving him the law and commandments. And so, three, he was the Jehovah of the Old Testament. When the brother of Jared prayed for the Lord to touch the stones so that they would shine in the darkness, he saw the finger of Yeshua, or Jesus, and then he saw his whole form, which was the body of his spirit. Now, here's another evidence of the truth of the Book of Mormon, right here. Let me get to this real quick. Mohanri Moriankamer, the brother of Jared, came up with this whole plan about shiny rocks, because Noah, according to the Talmud, had shining rocks placed in the ark so that they could have light in the bottom layers of the ark where there was no light coming in. Noah and the brother of Jared was alive right in the same time when Noah was still on the earth. This knowledge was passed down. That's how Jared knew to have certain stones that God could touch and light would emanate from them. Because Noah already, Joseph Smith couldn't have been the author of the Book of Mormon. He wouldn't have known that. That is one of the many evidences of the stick of Ephraim, the second witness of Jehovah, or of Jesus Christ and his resurrection given to the tribe of Ephraim. spoken of in Ezekiel chapter 37. There's no way that Joseph Smith could have known this. Not in New York, not in Palmyra, not to a farm boy or farmer's boy, not at that time. It is one of the many evidences of the truth and the validity of the Book of Mormon. Yet I don't trust in the flesh for my spiritual knowledge. I received that knowledge from God himself when he gave me a witness of that book. Even though I was an anti-Mormon at the time, God broke me down enough to be obedient, to listen to him, and I trust him. And when I asked, the Holy Spirit burned down on me with fire. And I know for a fact that the Book of Mormon is the very thing that it claims to be. And that there's answers for everything if you search for them. So, like Isaiah and the screw-ups with the King James Version of the Bible, like, I know, because I perceive that there are some out there right now that are or that are listening in the future that are going to say, well, what about this and what about that? The thing that I wanted to, I know I'm going off on tangents, so I'm just going to do it. When Edward Grandin, the printer of the printing press to copy the first Book of Mormon, took the manuscript, there was no capitalization, it was all run on sentences. Whenever it got to an Isaiah passage, instead of trying to figure out where the punctuation was supposed to be and everything, what he did is he went to the King James Version of the Bible and he lifted it out of there because it was easier to put in the printing press. That happened. Joseph Smith wanted to get it fixed in Cincinnati at a printing press that he was speaking to during the Nauvoo years, and guess what happened? He got killed. So now we've got this some screw-ups in the Book of Mormon. There's other things, too. The church has changed words in the Book of Mormon through time, but as it was translated by the prophet Joseph Smith, it was true. So anyway, let's see here. I'm just going to read this last part real quick. When the brother of Jared prayed for the Lord to touch the stone so they would shine in the darkness, he saw the finger of Yeshua, or Jesus, and then he saw his whole form, which was the body of his spirit. Jesus then said, "Never have I shown myself unto man." Ether chapter 3, verse 15. We may ask then, who was it who appeared to the ancient prophets prior to this time in the antediluvian world? It must have been God the Father or the Jehovah of the Old Testament, and it was. So who spoke to Methuselah? Who walked in the garden with Adam? Who spoke to Cain? Who walked face to face with Enoch in the city of Zion? If Jesus Christ told Mohanre Mori Inkmer after the flood he had never shown himself to anyone before this point, and we take him at his word that he is not a liar, then the Jehovah of the antediluvian world and the after that, but the Jehovah before the flood was not Jesus Christ, because he says right here that he has not shown himself unto anyone before this point. Furthermore, Abraham sat down with Jehovah, and Jehovah had a meal of milk and dairy, which, by the way, is against the modern Orthodox interpretations of Torah. And I'm getting into that later, because King Josiah added things, and then they just add things to whatever. Anyway, but Jehovah sat with Abraham and had meat and dairy with him, with a body of flesh and bone, because our Father Jehovah is a resurrected being with a spirit. He has a body of flesh. We are literally made in his image. But at that time, the time of the Jaredite, when Abraham lived, Jesus Christ came to Mahanaim Mori Inkemer, the brother of Jared, and Jared, or the brother of Jared, saw the form or the spirit of Jesus, because he had not yet been resurrected in the meridian of time. We see that the God of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Jacob, or Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in the Tanakh, or the Old Testament, spake in the New Testament through his Son, same God who is speaking and revealing his will to man. If Jesus were the Jehovah of the Old Testament, then the Israelites were worshiping him. But while Christ was on the earth, he never required his disciples to worship him, but rather to worship the Father. Worship means to bow down and give your allegiance, right? Jesus never told anybody to bow down and worship him. He always said, he always pointed to the Father. Jehovah is your mighty one, Jehovah your Elohim. He's the one that you worship. Jesus said to the man, the rich young ruler, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is the Father. Okay, let's hold on here. Hold and accept. That could not be Jesus Christ, our elder brother. The God the Father is the Jehovah who revealed himself to the ancient prophets, and again from Brigham Young, quote, who commanded Abraham to sacrifice Yitzhak or Isaac? Who is that God? He is my Father and your Father, and we are his offspring. Journal of Discourses, Volume 6, page 236. Brigham Young followed the teachings of Joseph Smith with implicit accuracy. Those teachings emphasize that Elohim and Jehovah are just different names for the same individual, our God, or Jehovah your Elohim, which they don't understand, means mighty one, but whatever. Okay. In 1867, Brigham said, quote, we obey God, we obey the Lord himself, who is called Jehovah, the great I am. I am a man of war, Elohim, etc. We are under many obligations to obey him. Journal of Discourses, Volume 12, page 99. Or page 79 of Mysteries of Creation. President Young and his associates were overwhelmingly convinced that Jehovah was God the Father, the creator of the earth, and God of the Old Testament. For example, Orson Pratt, an avid scholar of the Bible, had no doubt that the title Jehovah referred to God the Father. Let me just say this before. If you don't understand the progression of the gods, you're not going to understand who they are, their character, or their titles. You will be in confusion until you get that understanding through your head. Quote, God is love, says the Apostle John, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. That's because the power of God is love. It is more than just a feeling. It is a force. It consumes everything around it. If then this is one of the great attributes of Jehovah, if he is filled with love and compassion towards the children of men, if his son Jesus Christ so loved the world so that he gave his life to redeem mankind from the effects and the fall of the fall, then certainly God, the eternal Father, must be in possession of this passion. Journal of Discourses, Volume 18, page 288. Pratt had also written an article in which he said, the work of creation was performed by a plurality of persons, as evident from the description given by Moses, also in the book of Job. It says, the sons of God shot in for joy when the earth was created and whatever. In the beginning, the Ayaim created the heaven and the earth. The translators of the English Bible have rendered this word Alaim in the singular, whereas in the Hebrew it is plural and should be translated gods instead of God, except for Elohim does not always mean a plurality of El, of God. It depends on the context in which it was written. Elohim means mighty ones. This word occurs in the first chapter of Bereshit, Genesis, no less than 30 times, and is each placed in the plural form, im, showing the most positive manner of plurality of persons were engaged throughout the whole process of creation. That's true, but they don't understand the word Elohim. They don't get it. They don't have a Hebrew understanding of what that word actually is. Again, after the fall of man, the Lord God, Jehovah our Elohim, said, "Behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil." Millennial Star, Volume 11, page 281 and 282. From another article in the Millennial Star, Parley P. Pratt said, and we're on page 80 for those who are following, "The eternal Jehovah has revealed himself to man as enthroned in the heavens, while the earth is his footstool, and Jesus Christ as his son seated at his right hand as the mediator." Millennial Star, Volume 2, page 187. Then in his book, Key to the Science of Theology, Harley P. Pratt wrote, quote, "He," referring to Abraham, "conversed with angels, favored with a personal interview with the great head and founder of the science, who became his guest, and after eating and drinking with him as a resurrected being, and blessed him and his wife, promised him an heir in their old age." Key to the Science of Theology, 5th edition, page 6. See, that's another Jehovah, resurrected being, having dinner with Abraham, Jesus Christ, during the same time, showing himself to Mahanre Mori Ankhamer as a spirit who would not gain flesh until he came in the meridian of time, and would not be a resurrected being until his resurrection after his crucifixion. Jehovah, and Yeshua, or Jesus, are not the same people. The statement remained unchanged and was published in Parley Pratt's book for many years, as late as the 1891 5th edition. However, in the 6th edition, it was changed to read, after his death, by the way, "King Abraham was favored with a personal interview with the great head and founder of our science, who blessed him and his wife." See, they took parts of it out. They love doing that stuff because they've got to change everything to fit their current false theology.
Hi, everybody.
Nobody can see your face. Oh. They can all see your mouth.
Yeah, I know. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Are you going to sit down with me, or are you going to go? Girls are in our bedroom watching something.
Okay, is that why they couldn't hear me?
I have no idea.
I'm looking for Emmett. Emmett! I was just looking for him to see what he's up to. What are we reading?
So I'm reading Jehovah. Can I look at Taggy in the fire?
Is this too short? I'd rather sit in this one.
Okay.
Okay. I just opened the car, so I need to get out.
This is Amberly.
Hi, Amberly. I need to look. I want to do it though.
You're in there too.
Okay,
Anna,
you see you right there?
Go dish everything out, and when I'm done with this, all right, 7 o'clock we'll eat, okay?
Okay.
All right, let's see here. The reason for this change was because Jesus, as a spirit, could not be eating and drinking with mortal food with Abraham. Either the great head and founder who visited Abraham was God, a resurrected being. Remember, Jesus said, I do nothing except for what I've seen the Father do, indicating that our Father went through the same course as Jesus went through. Okay? And is a resurrected being.
Are we reading out of
and was able to eat and drink with him, or that Jesus Christ, who could have died, who could not have dined with him, even though the early editions of Parley's book had been read and approved of by many church leaders after 1891, it was concluded that Parley must have been in error, and so the church made the change, and the change was made to be consistent with the Jehovah Jesus doctrine that was beginning to be promoted, since they no longer believed that the Father was Jehovah. Such statements had to be changed. Are you going to read along, or are you going
to
read?
Well, listen, I'm trying to help you.
Oh, I would like it if you would. Yeah, and I'll get it through, because my throat hurts today for some reason. I don't know what's going on, but...
you want to hold her for a minute? She just wants attention.
She's had me all day long.
I know. She didn't get enough of you. She pulled her ponytail halfway out. Oh, no. We got a phone. Should I move over a little more?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
All right.
All right. Let's see. We're on page 81. It says, Wolfert Woodruff also held to the doctrine of Father belief being the God of the Old Testament. When he offered the dedicatory prayer of the Salt Lake Temple in 1893, he prayed to the Father as the God of Israel and ruler of mankind. He also prayed, Thou great Father of the spirits of all flesh, and Thou God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See Temples of the Most High, page 120 and 122. Since Jehovah was the God of the Old Testament and Woodruff prayed to the Father of the spirits of all flesh, he must have believed that the Father was Jehovah. Or you've been saying Jehovah.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm just reading it, but yeah, Jehovah is the actual pronunciation, not Jehovah.
Richard and Little wrote a compendium of the faith and doctrine of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in 1882. This was a volume originally written by Richard in 1857 and published by Orton Pratt in England. Both editions contained a list of 45 names, titles, and characters given to Jesus. Interestingly, the name Jehovah is not on the list. There is a different Jehovah or God for each world. Before the creation of this earth, there was a council of gods, including Jehovah or God, on Michael's world. It was he who was told by Elohim, representing the Council of Elohim, to go down with Michael and create this world. The temple ceremony clearly portrays the voice of Elohim commanding Jehovah and Michael to go down and organize matter for an earth, and Jehovah answers, we, meaning Jehovah and Michael, will go down. President Young explains to the school of the prophets that Elohim, Jehovah, and Michael were father, son, and grandson. They made
on an older earth.
Yeah, on an older
earth. Sorry, that was on an older earth.
They made this earth, and Michael became Adam. Joseph Smith Journal, June 17, 1871. This is okay if I'm doing this. Okay. Thus, that Jehovah, that's funny because it actually says Jehovah.
That drives me nuts. Elohim does not mean the name of God. That is not the name of God. Never was, never will be. They are the mighty ones. That's all it means. Anyway.
He just wants to call them. That Jehovah in the creation of this earth was in reality our grandfather in heaven. These terms are applied to different persons or different councils, just as the term God has said. In another sermon, Brigham stated that this earth was organized by Elohim, Jehovah, and Michael, who is Adam, our common father. L. John Nuttall Journal, February 7, 1877. He expressed the same view again. Michael is one of the grand mystical names in the works of creations, redemptions, and resurrections. Jehovah is the second and higher name. Elohim, signifying the gods, is the first name of the celestial trinity. Michael was a celestial resurrected being of another world. Woman of Mormondom, page 179. President John Taylor, in a poetic song, identified the Father as Jehovah. This is the song. As in the heavens they all agree, the records given there by three. Jehovah God the Father is one, another his eternal Son. The Spirit does with them agree, the witnesses in heaven.
In
September, heaven are three. But
awesome.
Sacred hymns, I know this one is misprinted. That's in Sacred Hymns and Spiritual Songs, 295, hymn number 262.
The witnesses in heaven are three. That's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. First part of it is
actually.
So I guess it's a family in there now.
When I get home, everybody clouds the room because they're like, she's back. Quick, get her.
So she leaves at 6:45 in the morning.
No.
And she gets up right before she leaves and goes starts her car if I don't do it already.
Yeah, so they just are all like, Mom, okay, so Edward Stevenson, a hymn composer.
Hymn composer.
As I said.
You said hymn composer.
It's a hymn.
That's what you do.
He definitely
you compose hymns.
Yeah, but it's not a hymn because a hymn would be a guy.
No, a hymn.
It's not a song. She composer either. It's a hymn.
Oh, shit.
Recorded in his diary in 1896, his views on the identity of Jehovah. Certainly, this says Heliohim.
Heliohim?
I'm sorry, I don't know. Heliohim?
Bang my head against the wall and break a wall, because, oh my gosh, are you serious? Anyway.
Maybe he spoke it wrong, so they just...
Heliohim and Jehovah stand before Adam.
Or else I am very much mistaken. Then in first, Heliohim, second Jehovah... Third, Michael, Adam, fourth, Jesus Christ, our elder brother in the other world from whence our spirit comes. Then who is Jehovah, the only begotten son of Heliohim on Jehovah's world? Stephen's diary,
gonna break,
March 3rd,
1896.
Now, I think that they dictate or they took that directly from what he wrote. In,
well, we don't know the name of the Father above the Father above the Father above the Father. And I don't know,
my favorite. Oh, is it?
Moana.
Are you ready?
No.
Okay, like Joseph Smith, Brigham Young apparently did not see Jesus as being among the gods mentioned in the temple ceremony. References as to exactly who Brigham Young did consider this Elohim and Jehovah to be. And their relationship to Michael Adam are sparse and ambiguous. However, both Brigham and Joseph have the same concept of a head God, who was superior to our Father in heaven.
Oh, that's God the Eternal Father, and everybody under him are Elohim, or mighty ones.
As the one who directed the creation, the head God called together the gods and sat in the grand council to bring forth the world. That's teaching to the prophet Joseph Smith, page 348. In describing the pattern that developed, as Brigham Young referred to the gods, Boyd Kirkland summarized, thus we see the flexibility with which Brigham Young used the divine name. To recap, number one, he never referred to Jesus as Jehovah. Number two, he referred to God the Father variously as Jehovah, Elohim, Michael, Adam, H-I-M, and other Old Testament epistles. Epithets. Sorry. And number three, he also referred to the God superior to the God Father as Elohim and Jehovah. That's in the development of the Mormon Jehovah Doctrine, 1830 through 1916, B. Kirkland, page 9. In a meeting of the School of the Prophets in Salt Lake City, President Young was asked why some of the scriptures seem to put Jesus Christ on an equal basis with the Father. He replied that the writers of those scriptures wrote according to their best language and understanding. That's
the Salt Lake School of the Prophets Minute Book, June 9th, 1873.
This indicates that many of the writers of the scriptures were not fully informed on all things at all times. Some of the great prophets clashed on certain points, as in the case of Paul and Peter, on occasion. Thus, we cannot take every single scripture and assume that it is absolutely correct, especially since some of them don't even agree. See, as it is translated correctly, trout.
We just finished that book like two or three months ago.
Okay, but I agree with that only because a lot of people, you know, the Bible is amazing. It's a good history, you know, and it is of God. But you still have to remember, where did it come from? It did originate of men, and it does go according to their own mind and the way they interpret things.
Like, even when I get revelation, I've got to make sure that I don't screw up the word given to me.
Mm-hmm.
I have to check it line upon line, precept upon precept, to make sure that God confirms it with the power of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And that's when it's given directly to me. But we've got people transcribing things, people misinterpreting things, people mistranslating things, and things get screwed up.
Right.
And Lydia has a question.
And Lydia,
how come the books they do like SL?
Salt Lake.
I know, why don't they just put Salt Lake?
Because it costs more money to print it.
More words.
And they need to abbreviate when they're doing quotation or what do they call it?
It's like when they do that.
Citation.
Yeah, citation. ECT or whatever they call it.
Well,
although Joseph Smith, Brigham Young, T. Percy Kimball, Carly T. Pratt, Orson Pratt, Sidney Rigdon, Lorenzo Snow, Wilford Woodruff, and others designated Jehovah to be the Heavenly Father, it was never a defensive statement. It appears that no one actually believed that it ever had any reference to Jesus Christ. So there are some passages in the Book of Mormon that lead to differences of identification. It is still this same Book of Mormon that tells us that if we want to know the authenticity of that book, we should ask God the Eternal Father, and he, not Jesus, will manifest the truth of it unto you. That's in Moroni 10, verse 4.
And also we pray and we bless the sacrament. O God, the Eternal Father, we come to thee in the name of thy Son. We ask in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread and water to the souls of all thankful. We're praying to God, the Eternal Father, in the name of Yeshua, our Redeemer.
Right.
So, anyway, go ahead.
Though there are some passages in the Book of Mormon that lead to differences. Oh, I'm sorry, I just read that. Of later Mormon concepts of Jehovah up until the mid-1880s.
You didn't read that.
I did. It was Moroni 10.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Later Mormon concepts of Jehovah. Up until the mid-1880s and over 250 references to Jehovah by many of the general authorities, it never once refers to Jesus. The initial advocate of the Jesus-Jehovah concept seems to have been Franklin D. Richards. It is interesting to note that on April 4th, 1885, he delivered a sermon at the annual conference in Logan, Utah, in which he said, this is in the Journal of Discourse, Volume 26, page 172, quote, "This is a time when we are called upon to bring our practical religion into use, to put on the whole armor of God and to trust in him. The Savior said he could call to his help more than 12 legions of angels, more than the Roman host, but he, knowing that great purpose, the great purpose of Jehovah, could go like a lamb to the slaughter," end quote. That's Journal Discourse, Volume 26, page 172. Here he expresses his belief in Jehovah because he was saying that Jesus knew the will of Jehovah. He was thus supporting the doctrine that had been taught for 50 years previous. Then a strange thing happened to his thinking. By August of the same year, 1885, Richard delivered a sermon expressing his belief that Jesus Christ was Jehovah. The last volume of the Journal of Discourses also contains this sermon that was delivered only a few months after his other discourse.
So we're on page 85 of Mysteries of Creation.
Mm-hmm. That says, "We learn that our Savior was born of a woman, and he was named Jesus the Christ. His name..."
He wasn't named Jesus the Christ.
His name was...
He was named Yeshua or Yoshia, which means he will save the people from their sins, and he was Mashiach or Messiah, not... Drives me nuts. Anyway.
Tell me how you really feel.
Okay.
During the first half of the existence of the earth, before he was made flesh and blood, was Jehovah.
Just start that sentence over again.
Okay, sorry. Hold on, I got to go to the other page.
No.
The beginning of that sentence says, "His name, when he was a spiritual being, during the first half of the existence of the earth, before he was made flesh and blood, was Jehovah."
Contradicts former revelation. It contradicts taught us. It contradicts many things. Anyway, go ahead.
"He was in the beginning of the creation, and he had to do and has had to do continually with the creation and government of this heaven and this earth. But up to the time that he had come and dwelt in the flesh and was born of Mary, his mother, he dwelt in the spirit life." He was a spirit being that directed, governed, and gave the law on Mount Sinai, where Moses was permitted to see him in part. Journal of Discourses, Volume 26, page 300. You're giving me a complex where I stutter when I read because I feel like you're always going to say something. Okay.
She's got PTSD because I'm about to say something.
Hi, Barbara. Hi, Barbara. Okay. This was in direct contradiction to the teachings of the President Brigham Young, who said, quote, this is in April 26, 1855, an unpublished sermon in the LDS archive.
By Fred Collier.
Right. Quote, we begin with the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and of our spirits. Who is he? He is that great and wise, glorious being that the children of Israel were afraid of, whose countenance shone so that they could not look upon him. That man put his hands out before Moses in the cleft of a rock until his glory passed by and would not suffer Moses to see his face, but his hind parts only. I tell you this is my belief about that personage who is called the Ancient of Days, the Prince, and so on, end quote. About, that was April 23rd, 1855, unpublished sermon, LDS Archive. Same time that Franklin D. Richards began to advocate the Jehovah Christ doctrine, George Buchanan joined that in that particular concept and taught it to his son, Abraham H. Cannon. He recorded in his journal, this is A.H. Cannon Journal, June 23rd, 1889, quote,
Speaking of George Buchanan.
Believes that Jesus Christ is Jehovah, and Jesus, in speaking of himself as the very eternal Father, speaks as one of the Godhead, etc., end quote. A.H. Cannon Journal, June 23rd, 1889. And then you're going to argue about something.
But that contradicts former revelation. Hold on. Is your phone still connected to the car?
I don't know. Is it?
It says I still have multiple phone calls here.
Oh, no. Nope.
Oh.
Well,
okay. Anyway.
Okay.
But anyway, that contradicts Ether Chapter 3, where Jesus says he had not shown himself before that point. That was after the flood, around the time of the Tower of Babel, Babel, whatever.
Yeah, they don't have anything about ether in any of this.
Oh, that's because I read it before you actually called me when I started the show. But in Ether Chapter 3, Jesus Christ shows himself to Mohammed and Moriah, or the brother of Jerry.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about it before.
And he says, never at any time have I showed myself to man.
Yes.
But Jehovah had shown himself many times before the end. Before the flood,
right.
After the flood, was a resurrected being before Jesus was resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the same people. And that doctrine began to be changed in the 1880s, and it contradicts Joseph Smith and many others. And it's just one of these blinders that God has allowed the saints to be blinded by because they believe there's certain things that they... There is a strong delusion that comes on they who believe false doctrines. So, anyway, go ahead.
What happened?
We're on page 86 of Mysteries of Creation by Ogden Crowell.
Although George Buchanan was a counselor to Wilford Woodruff in the first presidency, they apparently held differing views as to the identity of Jehovah. Woodruff issued the following statement. In 1893, it says, message of the first presidency, Volume 3, page 243, quote, thus shall our supplications, undisturbed by a thought of discord, unitedly mount into the ears of Jehovah and draw down the choice blessings of the God of heaven, end quote. In 1915, James E. Talmadge continued along this line and made a major convincing effort in promoting Jesus to Jehovah. This was the year that his book, Jesus the Christ, was published, in which he wrote, so this is Jesus the Christ, page 4, quote, Jesus Christ was and is Jehovah, the God of Adam and of Noah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, the God at whose instance the prophets of ages have spoken, end quote. In Jesus the Christ, page 32, it says, quote, Jesus Christ was and is God, the Creator, the God who revealed himself to Adam, Enoch, and all the antediluvial patriarchs and the prophets down to Noah. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel as a united people, and the God of Ephraim and Judah after the disruption of the Hebrew nation. The God who made himself known to the prophets from Moses to Malachi, the God of the Old Testament record, and the God of the Nephites. We affirm that Jesus Christ was and is Jehovah, the Eternal One, end quote. Also, in Jesus the Christ on page 38, quote, Elohim, as understood and used in the restored Church of Jesus Christ, is the name title of God, the Eternal Father, whose firstborn Son in the Spirit is Jehovah, the only begotten in the flesh, Jesus Christ. Now on page 87, that was end quote.
Hold on. Apostasy does not happen all at once. Satan gets people to change things. He changes the ordinances. He changes the truth of the gospel. His changes come in over time. They are subtle at first. But when you look back, founding documents of the Restoration, and you see the clear contradictions between what is taught today and what was taught at the beginning of the foundation of the Restoration by Joseph Smith, you see that there has been an apostasy concerning who Jehovah and Jesus Christ are. And we need to repent and return to the truth that Joseph Smith once gave to us. That's why I do these radio programs.
B.H. Roberts in 1903 wrote a book entitled The Mormon Doctrine of Deity, wherein he expressed his view that God of the Old Testament was the Father. See page 22 especially. But then in 1932, he wrote the book Rasha the Jew, in which he refers to Jesus as Jehovah and the God of the Old Testament. Why did he change his belief? Probably the reason for his change, as well as that of many others during that time period, was mainly because of the 1916, a doctrinal exposition by the First Presidency in the 12th called The Father and the Son. This article established the doctrine that Jesus is Jehovah and the Creator. So you have to see Messages of the First Presidency, Volume 5, page 26 and through 34. Coincidentally, it was written in the style and perhaps at the request of James B. Talmadge, who had already been advocating this doctrine in both of his books, Article of Faith, 1899, and Jesus the Christ, 1915.
And I really love Jesus the Christ and Articles of Faith, but James got it wrong. Clearly. Another thing, too. Okay, so, never mind. I'm just going to learn.
Of course, whatever was sanctioned by the First Presidency received acceptance from the rest of the church membership, as is today. Roberts and others merely accepted this new conception of God as authorized and therefore indisputable. From then on, numerous other writers took up this theme and promoted it as though it had always been the established doctrine of the church. A few of their quotations follow, and this is in Charles Penrose, conference report, April 1916, see pages 15 through 19, quote, who was it that gave the law to Moses? We are told it was Jehovah. Well, was Jesus Jehovah? Yes, according to the scriptures, both ancient and modern, and that seems to be a stumbling block in the way of a few of our brethren, end quote. And then also in Elias, reference encyclopedia, Brooks, page 211, it says, quote, Jesus Christ is Jehovah, end quote.
So isn't it great that you can see me now? Like, I used to do the radio show before, and you couldn't see all the expressions on my face. You could just hear my voice. And now you can see my, like, wanting to strangle some people. You know, I don't know. By the way, Shalom, Ricardo, thanks for joining us. What do you want?
So it also says in John A. Woodsow, Rational Theology, page 46, 1915, three great intelligent beings were in a supreme authority in building the earth, namely God, the Father, his Son, Jehovah, who became the Christ, and Michael, who became the first man, Adam.
Because they want to believe Michael is the Holy Ghost, right?
End quote.
Stop. Jehovah.
You should have to say all these quotes because there's only two more, and then you can rant instead of ranting at every quote. So in Mormon Doctrine by Ruth R. McConkie, page 392, it says, Christ is Jehovah, they are one and the same person, end quote. And then in God, Man, and the Universe by Hiram Andrus, page 216, it says, quote, the pre-earth Christ was Jehovah, the God of Israel, who revealed himself to the Old Testament prophets, end quote, and rant begins.
Is that the end of that chapter?
No, that's the end of that quote. That's
well, I'm just saying,
the same thing.
Jehovah was once a redeemer. He was once a witness. And he was once the Father. He remains the Father. But Michael the Archangel, was once the Witness. So they're the first presidency for each earth that is in existence. Under the Elohim, we are assigned an Elohim. Jehovah is our Elohim. But under him is the first presidency of this earth. That is, the Father was the Creator. When the temple endowment we see is Michael, the Creator, the one who created the earth under the direction of Jehovah, our Elohim, the Redeemer, and the Witness. Okay? Michael was once God the Witness on an older earth. He became a Redeemer on an older earth. And now he is the Father on our earth under the direction of Jehovah our Elohim, who is our Elohim. Okay? Jehovah was once a Witness. He was once a Redeemer. And he was once a Father of an earth placed in a garden and assumed the name of Adam. This is the progression of the gods. Jesus Christ, when he paid for our sins in the Garden of Gethsemane, he paid for us with a blood price, and we become adopted to him as his children, and yet he is still our elder brother. But we look at him as the Father, who has a Father above him and a Father above him, and he, in his next mortal probation, will be a celestialized, resurrected being who will descend and become a Father of an earth and take upon himself an Adam. That is why he is called the second Adam. And this will take place, as it says in Revelation, after the history of this earth has been completed, when a new heaven and a new earth is brought into existence. And Jesus Christ will be the second Adam, or the Adam of that world. And God, the Witness, the office holder of that place, who is known as the Ruach Elohim, Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Ghost, whatnot, the Holy Spirit, he will become the Redeemer for that world. And then an older, and then he will become a second Adam on that world and become the first Adam on a world above that. This is the progression of the gods. And if you do not understand this, you will never understand who these people are. And under their authority is God the Eternal Father, Adam, Amen, who is the God over all. And there is none that stand beside him, for he is one with his feminine, his wife, but there are none that stand beside him. And all under him are the mighty ones who are Elohim, who are co-heirs with them through the price that is paid on every earth. This is the progression of the gods. And if you don't understand that, you will never understand who these people are. Anyways, go ahead.
But his advice to let these things alone was not heeded. The doctrine of deity changed, and probably not without some major consequences.
Wait, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to follow. Sorry.
Okay. Prayers were being offered to a different god. Answers probably came from a different god. And the eternal destiny of most of the saints has taken a different course. If you wanted to petition the President of the United States but sent a message to the King of Kenya, you would certainly not receive your desired result. By believing that Jesus is Jehovah of the Old Testament, it means that he was the creator of the earth, whereas if one believes that the Father is the creator and the Jehovah of this earth, and we can become like him, then we believe that we can be creators. If we believe that Jesus, the Son of God, is the creator, then no one on the earth will be creators of an earth, for that would be the work of the firstborn son. No wonder Jesus said, "This is life eternal, to know thee, the only true God." It is an important key to the mystery of the Godhead and creation. Page 90, chapter 9, the only begotten.
And so we only have 20 minutes left. How long is that?
It depends on how much you comment. It's long.
Yeah, we'll probably have to get back to that. So, when I come back tomorrow, we will get into Chapter 9, the Only Begotten of the Father. I'm just going to put this out there again. If we don't have a phone call in the next little bit, then I'm going to end it at this point. What is that?
Oh, somebody's trying to message you.
Yeah, somebody's trying to I hate Messenger, by the way. I'm glad that some people contact me on it, but 99% of the people that try to contact me on it are just scammers trying to get me to feel sorry for them or whatever, and scam their scammers. So anyway, but the guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. And
I was going to say it's something interesting about tomorrow's chapter, because while he talks a lot and rants about things I've heard him say, I was reading ahead, and it says, and this is super interesting to me because of the way that it's worded. So on the 1830 edition in Alma, page 236, it says, "That I know that Jesus Christ shall come, yea, the Son of the only begotten of the Father."
That was the original, and then the church changed it.
But if you listen to that, the Son of the only begotten of the Father. So that's three people. So they're talking about Christ's children.
Well, it just drives me nuts because Jehovah is an only begotten. Right. Michael is also an only begotten. Jesus Christ is an only begotten. The witness of God is an only begotten. And so we're going to get into that more tomorrow.
I wanted to hear him rant even more. That's why I brought it up.
Do you want to read it?
No, I just thought it was...
Do you want me to go crazy over this?
I know.
It drives me nuts.
But that's like a precursor for what will happen tomorrow.
Yeah, you'll hear me going crazy over these things. So
yeah.
Anyway, it doesn't look like we have any callers and nobody's commenting.
So
I'm going to cut it short today. Yesterday we read so much, like 4 or 5 chapters. I can't remember. Chapter 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Because I speed read.
She read so much that I couldn't post it all in one thing and put all the text in one thing. So I had to, like, split it up, and it was just a disaster that she reads fast. So anyway, so I guess I'll just leave it up so we don't have any callers and nobody's commenting, so... Thank you for watching, everyone. I'll be back on tomorrow with the rest of the Revelations of One Mighty and Strong in the Morning, which you can find on my YouTube page at Messiah Ben Yosef. And then we will be back on tomorrow. I think 4:30 is a good time because that makes it so it's not so late when I finish. And we can do 2 hours or whatever it takes. And I think that's it. Anything else to say?
Not that I know of.
Okay. So, I'll be back on tomorrow. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Shalom.
Take care. God bless.
Bye.
And goodbye.